All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, and I'm sitting in the car in Geelong with Bev Killick.
Hello.
A comedy legend, and Chris Nelson from the Nelson Twins is in the back.
But hey, can you hear me up front there?
I think we can. You're
Chris
just
is
on
in the back.
You're just on the podcast, and we've just done the Furphy Beer Hall, which was a must be an old hall.
It's very random.
It's very hard to find.
It is a bit, but
it's part of the Little Creatures empire.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Good beer. That Furphy beer is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good beer. But, I mean, we all expected the worst, and it was actually quite good.
I think we just went through a red light, Dave.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, fuck. Did you see that?
That's why I've got you here. I didn't see no red light.
Sorry to...
Did you see a red light?
Sorry to be the...
I didn't see a thing.
I didn't see...
Informer, no, bad news.
Yeah, officer.
I don't drive, so...
Oh, you don't drive?
No.
Well... Anyway, the gig, I nearly killed you, but the gig was good because...
It was great.
Small crowd, but they were good.
They awesome. Just kept coming in, didn't they, Chris?
They did. It was a great show.
Dave was running a bit late.
I was running late because I was waiting for my wife to have her hair done, so...
That happens.
She'd already changed the appointment twice and she wasn't changing it again.
It happens. It always... It's like you think that your hair's going to take an hour...
Does it take a while, does it?
It takes two
hours.
Two and a bit.
To get it dyed.
And then it's all the blow drying and then all the product. And, and then there's the selling part.
Yeah, where they sell stuff
to
you.
Yeah, they put all the product in front of you and go, look how good you look.
I haven't had a haircut in 10 years. So
wow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You haven't had a haircut in 10 years, Chris?
Oh, my God. Because your hair's quite... You had a man bun in.
I've got a man bun in as we speak. And
looks
I
good,
just,
mate.
Thank you. I just give it a little trim myself from time to time.
Do you?
And we're meeting your partner, Bev.
Yeah.
Bloody Tony. Geelong. People are hanging out of cars yelling at each other.
I know.
Like Marvel in the 80s.
It's a bit... They didn't mind me paying out on them tonight, actually.
No,
I was calling them a bunch of bogans. Going, the real estate's really freaking cheap here.
Yeah.
Expect a heap of Westies from Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, they've already come. Don't worry about that. But Tony's driving down the highway towards
us. Tony can't help himself.
He just loves it.
He just loves looking after me.
God, what a good man. He's always been a good man.
He is a good
Hang
man.
Hang on, there's people here.
He's always... Hi. Hey.
Party
they're
on.
Rocking out.
Woo.
Yeah, baby.
It's like something out of Wayne's World.
What's happening on a Thursday?
Yeah, well, Geelong, they're just doing laps. Well, Tony's a sound guy, and we all
He's
know Tony from
guy.
The ESPY.
That's how
That's
I
where
him.
You met him.
Yeah. He gave me
story.
Extra special lights.
Didn't give me nothing. No, he's always been a great guy, Tony.
I had all these chaser lights and everything.
Like, why is Tony giving me so much attention?
I don't know.
What was happening?
Kind of like
and then you fell in love.
I think he told Trevi.
I told Trevi around
and
the ESPY.
I told Trevi. So Trevi was the only one who knew.
Oh.
And then Trevi...
It was like having a relationship at work, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Quiet. Yeah.
But there's been a few, hasn't there? There's been a few comedy
For sure.
partnerships. Yeah, so Trevi used to invite us around for dinner.
Oh.
Just the two of us. And then he'd go inside going, I've just got to go and do something.
No, he'd leave you alone.
He'd leave us alone. But Tony didn't get the hint. He was a bit slow.
A bit slow.
And then he'd drive me home and I'd go, bye, and get out. And
oh, no kiss or anything?
Nothing. And that happened for about 8 months.
Oh, my God. You're probably thinking, is there something wrong with him?
I'm just like...
A gentleman.
I don't know. Is this guy...
For real?
What is going on? And then I told a few comedians, which I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And they just went, oh, that's bullshit, Bev.
Yeah, right.
Because she'd give him an old 8 months.
Where
eight
I
months.
Come from, if you were in a relationship with someone for 8 months, you're a month off having a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you from?
we know where he's from. Walbundry.
Big shout out to the crew out there at
Walbundry. Big fan of the debrief of Walbundry people.
It wasn't even an official date or anything.
Really?
So it was just 8 months of getting to know you.
So that's where I met you at the ESPY.
Yeah.
I must have met you at the
that
ESPY
was a
Hotel.
While ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing comedy 20 years?
20 years this year.
Wow. Yeah, I'm 30 years.
I used to tell people 15.
Yeah, right.
Because I just didn't want people to think... Because if people think you're shit, and you say that
you've been around forever.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for 20 years. It's like, it's
good. 20 years is good. So, you know, when someone says 20 years, I go, well, they've got experience and know what they're doing.
Yeah. And you can just get up anywhere, really.
Yeah, and cope with most stuff that happens.
Well, I'm the comedy virgin then, I guess.
No. You're 10 years, aren't you?
13.
Yeah. We're all
Isn't
veterans.
Isn't it a weird thing how, you know, you could be a doctor by now?
I'd be a surgeon. I'd be a surgeon in my
field.
You'd
be like a brain surgeon.
Yeah, I'd be highly respected. I'd be like... Because I did a gig for surgeons once, and they do really look up to the older men and women in their... You know, they're really respected. Whereas in comedy, when you get older, there's a bit of a...
I'm in between a veteran and a hack.
And a hack, yeah. Ooh, that I'm fucking guy.
There. Oh, did one of you fart?
That's a bad smell, isn't it?
Oh, what is it?
Well, we're not far from where.
We're not far from where.
Is that it?
Maybe it's the soy chicken chips that I stole from the green room. I've got three bags of chips that I've stolen.
Don't you love it when you get a good green room? Oh, that was great tonight.
Yeah, they look after you there.
He looked at me when he first came in and introduced himself and said, so there's beer and mineral water. And I just sort of went, my eyes just sort of glazed over. And he said, wine? I went, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's good.
He brought me a whole bottle to myself.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Isn't that lovely? That's why I'm swearing.
And you've got to get up early. Are you doing a shoot tomorrow?
Yes.
What can you say what you're doing? Or
I can. When does this come out?
Oh, this will come out a week or so.
I'm filming on Preacher.
Preacher?
Which is an American series.
Oh, fantastic.
It's being shot in Melbourne. And I won't give away where I'm...
No, okay, so is that like we haven't seen that series yet, have we?
It's on Stan.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but they're shooting this season in Melbourne. At Docklands, mostly.
Okay. American series.
The American series, which is Seth Rogen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And,
is that someone waving at us again?
Oh, that's my brother driving.
Oh, that's your brother. The Nelson twins are never far apart.
It's like an umbilical cord.
He just wants to make sure I get home safe.
Yeah, yeah, what a good brother.
You've got an exciting day tomorrow, Bev, but I am having a coffee with a retired school teacher tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, he's a lovely
Who's
guy.
Who's that?
His name's Rod, and I really like him, but he's about 80 years of age, and I think he thinks that he's mentoring me.
Are you going to break the news that you're not teaching anymore?
Because Chris is... you were telling me this funny story on the way.
Oh, I've got lots of funny stories.
That's why you're a comic.
About the camp. The camp? With the kids.
Oh, that might have been my brother.
Oh, that was Justin's.
My brother's still school teacher, does his day job.
Yeah.
That's right. He was away with the kids and they all ordered Uber Eats at 11 o'clock at night.
And he thought that he told them lights out.
Yeah.
Oh, really? And Uber Eats turned up?
And Uber Eats were turning
Fantastic.
Up.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious? My kid's school is...
Banned it?
Said banned Uber Eats at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, Chris, you're saying.
So,
80,
you're going to meet Rod?
So, I'm going to meet Rod for a coffee. I always buy his coffee, too. I absolutely love the guy. I love chatting to him. But I'm not really getting mentored by him. I just turn up to have a chat and have a coffee.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to break the news. I'm not actually teaching anymore. I'm a comedy star. Have you ever watched the TV? I've been on it. Yeah. We need to say.
I've just been in the US.
Same stuff on the YouTube.
Funny thing happened tonight, Dave.
Yeah.
Because you weren't there.
I was there because my wife's getting her hair done. Yeah.
The guys, the Nelson twins, gave away a stubby
holder
thing. Yeah. What's it called now?
Yeah, stubby.
A slide thing. And they said, who has all their grandparents living? And this woman put her hand up. And then she went, oh, no, three.
This lady in the crowd.
It was hilarious.
She had forgotten that all her grandparents were dead.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I forgot.
Oh, I forgot.
No, I thought it was just one.
One had died out of the
four.
She thought she had one left out of the four.
Oh.
And then midway through our conversation, she realised that...
They're all dead.
Oh, they'd all gone.
Oh, my God. The things that people say.
I love old people.
Yeah, old people. Old people are a much underutilised resource. Well,
aren't
they? We were just talking about getting old as a comic. And it's true.
It's true.
If you ever meet an old comic and you talk to them, it's really interesting.
They've got so much good information.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's true.
Speaking of old
comics. Because they used to do strip clubs.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's
like,
what they did in the 60s
and
70s. Well, they used to do comedy before the strippers.
Yeah.
So yeah. Speaking of old people, my grandma is 90 years of age, still lives on her own, and last week she killed a 5-foot brown snake.
Jeez.
I am not kidding.
They breed them tough.
She's like Steve Irwin going back.
That is unbelievable. She should have her own show.
Good on her.
Yeah. Oh, she couldn't have her own show. She's deaf.
Oh, really?
No. I'm starting to get deaf.
Yeah, you can go get tested.
I'm starting. I've got a thing from the doctor. What's it called?
Prescription referral thing. Yeah.
To get a hearing test.
It's interesting watching people stand up as they get older. Brad Oakes is talking about having a heart attack. I'm talking about a sleeping aid. You know, it's just like who get. Des Dowling talks about doing the poo test when you're 50. So does Denise Scott do that? She talks about the poo. Everyone.
I haven't done mine.
Yeah. So, you should.
I don't want to.
Well, you should. We find can do out.
It now. Have you done yours?
Yeah, I did mine. Of course I did. I love to poo on a piece of paper. And as Tony Martin does a routine about. I've always wanted to send shit to the government, and now.
So what were your results?
No, fine. All fine.
Fine.
Yeah, all fine.
Well, I'm getting to that age. I'm almost 40.
You're a young'un.
But do 40. I need to do something with the prostate? I haven't done anything.
No, you should always get your prostate checked.
But also, do you get a blood test occasionally?
From time to time.
Yeah, just
you've got to have a yearly medical.
Yeah, you just ask for the PCA or whatever, you know, that blood count thing.
Yep.
It just asks for that to be included. Because
yeah, there's no intrusive finger up the bot.
No, they can't
unless
do that.
Unless you ask for it.
Yeah, normally they test for blood, they test for, I'm sorry, sugar, and they test for, you know, diabetes and that stuff.
Yep.
And you just say, can you also just test the PSA or whatever? And they'll just tick a box on the form and
see. Yeah. What's PSA?
It's a prostate thing. I don't even know what it stands for. But I've done so many gigs now for prostate cancer and sat through the talk that the doctor or the nurse gives.
Yeah.
I know all about it. Because, you know what, he gets up there and he freaks everyone out. He goes, all right. 10 blokes sitting at this table, 3 of you are going to die of prostate cancer or some figure like that. Everyone's looking at each other, oh, fucking hell. So, but that's, it tends to be older men.
Because men forget that they have to look after their health.
Yeah, it's true.
And they're so frightened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's yet true. With women, like, you grow up with them.
Yeah, it's true.
You've got to have
this,
you've got to have that, you've got to have mammograms, you've got to have pap smears, you've got to have all these things, and you can't be embarrassed.
I did a dementia conference the other day, and it was in the classic thing, you know, when you do a hard gig, you walk in, you go, oh, what's this going to be like? Yeah. In a hospital lecture theatre.
Wow.
And they had a whole day about dementia, professors in dementia, nurses in dementia, an architect who built houses for dementia nursing homes.
Yeah.
And then the guy at the end goes, all right, we're going to have a bit of light in the mood now and finish on a laugh. We've got Dave O'Neill coming on. But before I do that, as an expert in dementia, put up your hand if you're over 50. And all the crowd puts their hands up.
He
goes, you've all got dementia. You just don't know it yet. It's a gradual disease.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, here's Dave O'Neill. And I just go, I don't know where I am. Dementia.
Are you kidding me?
That's a true story. Yeah, the dementia conference.
Because I think I had to put my father into a home last year.
Oh, was that traumatic?
It was, because usually it's my sister that's the boss of the family.
Yeah.
And my brother couldn't do it.
How many is in your family, Beth?
Three.
Are you Queenslanders?
Yeah.
Where in Queensland? You're from Townsville? No.
I'm from Townsville.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he down in the army?
No, he was a butcher.
Classic job. Was his name Wall or Cole or?
No,
Doug?
Neville. Neville.
Nev.
Nev the butcher.
Neville.
But we used to go to the butcher's picnic every year. We'd get
the butcher's picnic.
Yeah, we'd win $25 for a sandcastle competition.
When I was a kid, you used to go to the butcher and he would cut off a piece of meat and give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't happen anymore.
So that's how my mum and my dad met. Because dad was an apprentice butcher in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And mum is from a family, she's one of 5 kids, and her mother had died, and they were doing it tough, and so he'd go, my mum's some extra meat.
An extra sausage.
There's no nice way of me saying that.
Yeah, 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 right.
Always
well, what a nice
a
man
innuendo.
Neville was.
Yeah, Nev, we call
and
him.
And so you put him in the home.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
So it was me. It all rested on me. And because I'd said to him about 3 weeks prior, Dad, if you find it too difficult, please just call me and we'll do it really slowly and we'll do it with love. It's all going to be fine. Just give me a call. So he did. Because I think I'm the one that he knows is just going to be...
You're his favourite.
Yeah, maybe. Lighthearted about it. Just and not too serious. And be loving and kind and slow, you know?
Yeah.
Because as much as I'm a racy chick...
Broad,
I'm also a very loving and kind person.
Racy, bit saucy.
So up I went to Rockhampton and I...
Oh my God.
I stayed there for about a week and I had to look into all these, what homes to do and fill out all these forms.
Yeah, and they have to sell their home, don't they? It's,
yes, because he had this cottage.
Yeah.
So it had to go back to, you know, the people who owned it. Because I think it cost him $75,000 and he could stay there as long as he wanted and then something went back to him. Anyway, so I had to organise all that. I had to do all these paperwork for Miles. And then I asked him what his top five homes were, and then we went and looked at them.
Imagine putting together that top five.
Wow. It was unbelievable.
Number two and three are tying.
Oh, man.
What was the home like that he's gone into?
The one that I stepped into, that he's now at, actually, I walked in there, and there was so much noise. There was all this singing going on, and there were all these pets, all these dogs to pet.
Oh, wow.
And there was all this stuff going on. And this woman approached me with purple hair, who was the manager. And she said, look, we'd love to have Neville on the list, but we just have to wait, dot, dot, dot.
Right.
And I said, for what?
For what,
and
yeah.
She said, for someone to pass away.
Oh, for someone to pass away.
And I went, well, no wonder there's a waiting list. Look how happy they are. No one's going to want out. Can you please just keep it down? Keep the entertainment to a minimum.
And then someone passed away and he got in.
Someone passed away and he got in. And he was very happy.
Oh,
and
then
he got Sookie.
Oh, yeah, they get up. Yeah, right.
And he thought that we were just dumping him there.
Gosh.
So my sister and my brother-in-law came up to Rockhampton to help me. And we packed up his cottage, which was very sad. Because he had a Google cupboard.
What's
you know
that?
How we just look up public transport and stuff.
Oh, he had all these stuff, pamphlets and that.
Everything on a cupboard wall, sticky taped.
Oh.
All the bits and pieces of information that you could possibly think of. He had it. And I took photos of his Google cupboard.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Hilarious.
So how many in your family?
My sister is the eldest.
Yeah, right.
Deborah.
Where are you? Yeah.
She's in Toowoomba. And then I'm in the middle.
Yeah, right.
And then my brother, Jeffrey. He lives on the outskirts of Toowoomba.
Oh, wow, Toowoomba.
My sister is a teacher. She's a professor in mathematics.
Oh, my God. And what's your brother do?
My brother is a harmonica playing hippie dude.
So why did you get into comedy? Like, what did you do before? You studied acting, didn't you?
Yeah, I started acting when I was, like, 18.
Right.
Till when I was 30.
And so then why did you get into comedy, like?
Because I was always getting tips for being funny.
Yeah, right.
Pubs and clubs. And...
So where did you do your first gig?
Star and Gutter.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
That's where Fiona O'Loughlin did her first gig.
Yep. It's a first for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And Dave Grant was my first ever MC.
Oh, okay, great. The late, great Dave Grant, yeah.
Yeah, I belong to the Dave Grant Club.
Yeah, right. Oh, I didn't know you were around the Star and Gutter. I vaguely...
Because
you would have started around the same time as people like Chris Bennett.
He was before me.
Right.
Who did I start?
Des would have been... Des Dowling.
Des Dowling.
Des, been Tom, on the podcast.
Tom Gleason.
Gleason,
Chris Franklin.
Yep,
Yeah, no, Betters and all those guys were already...
They'd already started, so I would have started. I would have been starting, yeah.
But I used to go and see you before I even met you.
Really?
Yeah.
Where at?
At the ESPY.
Oh, the ESPY, yeah.
So that was my church on a Sunday, before I even knew I was a comedian.
Yeah, right, wow.
I used to go down there.
It was good. I saw just on Facebook Matthew Hardy was doing his show there, which is a great show about football.
Yep.
Saturday Afternoon Fever. And it was packed.
Yep.
I thought,
I was supposed to go to that last week.
Oh, you'd love it. You would have loved it, Chris.
Chris is a footy fan.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Oh, and I'm a St Kilda fan, which is...
Oh, you'd love it even more.
Is who Matt has written the book about.
Well, it's on tomorrow night.
You know. I'm supposed to be going.
Are you working, though?
Well, I've got a friend who has got a ticket for me.
Go. You should go.
Well, I should go, but I just don't know if I want to give Matt $40.
Well, we'll get some freebies. Come on.
You know, funnily enough, I actually stayed with Matt when I was in London.
Really, Hardy?
Yeah, I stayed with Matt Hardy when I was in London.
Yeah.
And Justin and I went out for a gig one night, and we came home, and Matt had been stabbed at the front door.
What?
What?
Yeah, some
stabbed
chap,
where?
Stabbed in the hand. Some chap had tried to steal his wallet, and
mate, I'm not fucking having that, mate.
Yeah. He's, so I think I don't know if he talked him down, but the guy kind of shanked him, and then
he was one of the first people I met in comedy, Matthew Hardy.
Yeah,
same.
He's a great guy.
Matt Hardy. The old bloke. What's his name?
Matt Hardy's younger than me.
Matt Hardy, the older guy. That ran comedy in England.
Oh, yeah. Who used to get his penis out on stage?
Yeah, and he used to get his balls out.
And he had a mysterious death.
Yes, he did.
He used to run up the creek in England.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I became friends with him through the ESPY.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Because
he was the first person I ever saw do the joke. They say there's two times you're at the Melbourne Comedy Festival: one on the way up. And one on the way down.
That's it.
Well, it's great to be back.
Yeah.
It's the best. It is the best opener ever.
So I became friends with
him. We could have done that in Geelong tonight.
Yeah, it was
two
good.
Times you played Geelong.
Uh-huh.
What was his name? Oh, it's killing me.
Yeah, no, it's Matt Hardy.
No. Malcolm Hardy. Malcolm Hardy.
So I met, and he's Hardy, double E.
Yes.
So I met him because Trevor Hoare, who rang the ESPY.
Rang the ESPY, yeah.
Rang me, and he said, Bev, we've got Malcolm Hardy in town, and I would love for you
to meet him.
To meet him and show him around Melbourne.
Oh wow! Now Tony's not going to be in this servo, is he?
Oh, I don't know. Should I ring him?
Well,
I'm halfway through a story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, well, it's too late now. Anyway, so
I meet Malcolm Hardy, and Matthew Hardy at the same time. Right?
Yeah, they're mates. Yeah.
Yeah, they're big mates because Matthew used to live in England, and we get along. Great gun. So the three of us sort of go out on the town and whatever. And then Matthew starts to get his nose out of joint because Malcolm and I are in cahoots. And we're just
right.
And so I ended up spending the whole week with Malcolm every day, every night. We were just pockets.
Yeah, wow.
It was unbelievable.
Did you ever do his club in England, up the creek?
No, he wanted me to.
It's supposed to be so brutal.
I never did. I ended up going on a film. When I was in England, these people contacted me, friends of Malcolm Hardy, to talk about him.
Yeah, right.
This was when he was still alive.
Oh, wow. Was he sick, was he?
No.
Did he fall in the river?
He lived on a houseboat.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was a pisshead.
He ran a comedy room called Up the Creek.
Up the Creek.
He fell in
and
the
it
creek.
Ran. Yeah, I know. This was in the Thames. He ran this place called Up the Creek, and it was absolutely brutal.
Brutal.
Like, people used to go there just to heckle. So they'd try and out-heckle each other. And this is where, you know, the balloon what's the guy from, the young ones.
Yeah, Rick Mayall.
Rick Mayall.
Kate Emerson.
So, yeah, they were all mates.
Yeah.
So the young ones was actually, and this is all in Malcolm's book, was all about this flat
where Malcolm lived. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they all lived there because Malcolm didn't give a shit. It was pretty much a squat.
Yeah.
And there was all these, you know, starving artists living at this place. And then they came up with all these ways to make money, right? So they did this nude balloon thing where they all had all these balloons and then they'd prick them.
Yeah, that's it. I remember seeing that at the Prince Pat. Yeah. They came on to it. I think they came on to a classical or that's it. It was famous in the 80s and the 90s.
And then they did they used to do Punch and Judy stuff and all sorts of crazy
guys.
And the young ones was about them.
Oh, really? Modeled on them.
About them.
There you go.
So that's how it all started. Anyway, so when Malcolm and I just became great mates, and we wrote to each other.
Before the internet. This is before the internet.
Absolutely, like with a pen, wrote.
Was Tony jealous?
No.
Oh boy.
We just became such great friends.
Yeah.
And so he passed away. He was in his dinghy on his way out to his houseboat with a heap of alcohol, and he fell over the side.
Wow.
See, because it toppled.
But he looked old back then, didn't he?
No.
Or was he
there
young?
There are people like that.
Yeah, that he just looked old when he was probably 40.
Yeah, he had those massive glasses.
Yeah.
Like Coke bottle kind of, you know, black-rimmed glasses, like one of the...
He was just a funny... one of those guys is born funny, I reckon.
He is funny, hilarious. He used to do Glastonbury every year.
Yeah, right.
He started the Comedy Tent.
Oh, the Comedy Tent.
He was that person.
He'd hang out with Keith Allen, Lily Allen's dad.
Yeah.
He hung out with all that crowd.
And then... One time there was too much noise bleed from a tent next door. So he went, hang on a minute, I'll be back. Just hang on a minute.
Oh no.
Stay with me. And he went and got a tractor and then rammed the tractor in the tent.
Really?
Is this at Glastonbury?
Yeah, Glastonbury.
I've heard some horror stories. The great Jeff Green was telling me one day he was performing there in the Comedy Tent.
Yeah.
And the poo truck come in to remove the poo. They hit the wrong button and they pump the poo into
it. Oh, my God!
Sounds like a disaster.
Yeah.
As if you wouldn't know, on off.
Well, you would have done festivals, Bev. Have you done any?
Yeah.
What ones have you done? Oh. You're a bit of a fan of Comfest. Are you a fan
of Comedy
Fest? What's the one where you get nude in the mud? Is it Rainbow Serpent?
No,
or
Confest.
Confest.
I've done about 30.
Oh my God, so did you do gigs there or?
Yeah, I used to help run comedy festival comedy workshops.
I didn't know that happened.
We had
there.
A comedy tent at one stage.
Oh wow.
And you just sort of put in for it and the directors would say, yeah, and I was one of the directors, so I just went, yep. And I did one nude once. I did a comedy workshop nude. And I just went, you know what, people, you're partway there. You know what I mean? You just seriously.
But you know, I just bought a book. At the airport, and you're in it, and it's written by Joanne Brookfield.
Oh, that's a great book.
Yeah, and it's called
No Apologies. Yeah.
And you talk about doing a gig in Edinburgh in the nude.
Yes. Oh, you read it.
I've read the whole book. I was on a plane to Tamworth. I had nothing to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've read the whole book. Yeah,
that's fabulous.
You feature in it a fair bit.
Do I? Oh.
I should have bought a copy for you.
I should have thought
of that. Anyway.
I've got one in the mail.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it was in Edinburgh, and they'd found out. It was in Edinburgh when they have the Aussies meetup.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, but anyway.
Well, they had an Aussies meetup. Sure. Anyway, so I was at this Spiegel tent and someone tapped me on the shoulder and they said, I hear you're a nudist. And I just went, excuse me. And they were doing the naked brunch.
Yeah, right.
Right? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And it was this real closed off affair. You had to be nude.
Yeah, like the waiters were nude and everything.
Everyone was nude. The lighting guys were nude. Yeah. Everyone was nude. Sound people.
Well, that's good because it's democratic then.
It was hilarious, right? But
some guy had clothes on in there and you're like, you're pervert.
Yeah, pervert.
They had paper down the seats.
Oh, which I thought
was an extra touch.
Well, British, yeah.
But before me, there was like an acrobatics act.
Oh, no.
And then there was a quartet. And it was just hilarious and it was full on. And but I had some extra sort of danger level.
Yeah.
Because I'd had curry the night before.
Oh, no.
At a mosque. This is my favourite mosque to go to for curry. And I was also menstruating, so...
Oh, man, this is the full deal.
It's like, I don't know what that danger level
is. Did you get paid to do that gig?
No, I didn't care. Very... It was just one of those where it's like, you know, stupid stuff.
An experience.
Totally an experience.
You're listening to The Debrief with Bev Killick and Chris Nelson's in the back, and we'll be back because Bev, you should ring Tony.
Yeah, I've got to ring Tony.
I'll just hang on. We'll be back in a minute. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill
and Glenn Robbins,
and we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google.
Something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. You're back on The Debrief. Bev Killick's here, Chris Nelson in the back. I'll ask you my questions I ask everyone, Bev.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. What went well tonight and why? In terms of your act or the...
They were... really cash.
The crowd were great. That's what went well. They were an awesome crowd.
Yeah, you didn't have to go out all guns blazing.
Yeah, that's
you could
interesting.
Just do your stuff.
And what didn't go well?
The acoustics I found were a little bit tough. I think being an
too
old
loud.
Band.
Yeah, that's my next question.
A bit echoey.
Any organisational hazards get in the way, and that's
there wasn't enough marketing.
Well, yeah, they didn't promote it properly.
And it's so dark.
It's like and it's quite of hard to
outside.
Find.
It's very hard to find.
But everyone in Geelong would know that place, though. That's the thing.
I don't know. How long has it been there?
It looks like it's 100-year-old building.
Yeah, it's a very old building, but everyone would know the Little Creatures. Because my mate who lives down there said, "Oh, Little Creatures." But he hadn't heard of Furphy Hall before.
It's pretty specky.
Yeah, it's a good place. Obviously, people go there for functions and stuff.
And the pizzas were great.
Well,
and they looked after it.
John, who lives down there, said that people were walking past, coming from the restaurant, going, "What's going on in this room? Oh, it's
really?
Comedy. Oh, comedy, really?" So they just know it.
There was
anything about
there was a chalkboard inside the actual building complex.
With no mention.
That was comedy.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's good for the staff, anyway.
Well, I think you were the only person on the poster, Dave.
Yeah, that's... yeah, see, you guys should have been on there.
I made up my
we're
own
huge
little
in Geelong. We're huge.
One on pink collage.
Yeah, you did. But also, they don't realise that if you put several people on there, you're going to appeal to a lot, you know, a variety of people. But also, people go, that's value for money.
That's
you know,
it.
You know, but anyway.
So a diverse group. No, but I mean, it was a great crowd because of that diversity.
Yeah.
And they all were there for that reason. They were there for comedy.
Yes.
So that's why we didn't leave them hanging for too long.
And how can we do better next time?
I reckon...
Promote it.
Promoting the gig is a good idea.
Because I was talking to the guy that I know, and his mates are saying, it's not hard in Geelong. It's not like you live in Sydney.
No.
Where there's so much shit going on. Geelong, you just do the local papers,
that's
the radio,
it.
Facebook. And that's...
Yep.
You know,
it's not hard.
Does Geelong have its own radio station?
Yeah, it's K-Rock and Bay FM.
Oh, and I was on last week. If I'd, you know, if I knew the numbers were down a bit.
Yeah, you could have plugged it.
I could have plugged it. But yeah, they need to get on K-Rock. They need to get in the local rags. Like, what's the equivalent of Beat Magazine?
They have the Geelong, they have Forte down there.
Forte.
And Geelong Advertiser.
Yeah.
They've got their own newspaper.
But I mean,
anyway.
You know, that was a really good show.
Yeah, they were good. They were nice people. And
there's a lot
great.
Of bang for buck, really.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Because I know whenever I've played down there, like in theatre shows, at the
G-Pack,
it's always sold out.
Well,
get
I can remember
crowds. People go out.
I can remember doing shows there in Geelong years ago above a Chinese restaurant. I think that was Des Dowling's gig.
It's an old dance studio.
That's
the studio. And the guy that ran it had a hook on his arm.
He did, yeah.
What?
On his hand.
Yeah.
Like a pirate.
Oh.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone's like, don't ask. And Flew just goes, "Hey, man, how'd you get that hook?"
Did he used to be on Triple R?
And the guy goes, it was a car accident.
And what did you feel about the gig tonight, Dave?
I thought it was good.
We were texting you going, "Yeah, Chris is going to be...
In
the
car park.
It's going to be directing you to the green room."
You guys were very helpful. And I thought that it was a great gig because it was just, you could muck around a bit, you know, do your newer stuff. You didn't have to do the, they were a great crowd. They were really good.
It's like they didn't really know what hard and fast comedy was. So you could just be
relaxed. And also, I just love those three guys my age sitting down the front. Gordon, Mark and Murray.
Weren't they lovely?
Sitting on a couch.
Now, Mark, who was sitting
Mark
in the front
Langley.
Row, is Mark Langley, who has just retired from Defence Force Entertainment.
Ah, it was!
So he was the guy who booked all of us to go.
So I went over to Solomon's.
I think I've met him before.
Mark. Yeah.
I got in trouble a little bit.
What for?
Apparently I was swimming nude in the pool, but it was a flesh-coloured swimsuit.
You're bloody naturalist again. You and your nudity.
And apparently I was playing this game called Human 10-Bin Bowling. All was wet. It was torrential rain. There was wet tiles. Guys hadn't had fun in a while.
Yeah.
I don't think. Do we still have troops or Australian Federal Police in the Solomons?
If they do, it's very minimal.
Yeah.
And that's just to keep an eye on things. But it wasn't like what it was way back when there was the uprising.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Mark organised the tour for me. One time where I went to Dubai and we went out to this American base.
Do you mean we as in you and
Me and my brother, yeah. Right. And we went to this American base and they were quite conservative and my brother and I did a whole heap of Jesus material and they banned comedy for 2 years.
Hey, that's an achievement, mate. That's an achievement.
George Smalovich was flown out like that day. Like, get out.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yep. Dude, Ostentatious is a cruise and this was before anyone did cruises, a long time ago. And he was on a cruise and they said, don't be late, don't underdress, and don't hang shit on the captain. And so,
and what did he do?
Guess what? He was late and he walked on stage and said, sorry, I'm late, but I've been fucking the captain up the arse. And all the lights went off.
They just got the chopper and landed it.
Yeah, they dropped him off in Fiji or somewhere. See you later.
He is such a dickhead. Don't ever book Ostentatious. I've crazy. Done so many gigs now. Where he hasn't shown up and I've just been...
Yeah. I did a gig with him in Canberra years ago and he's talking to me really nicely. And he does that thing where he just goes, oh, that support act was shit, wasn't it?
I know.
Just
bangs. What is that
about? It's not very nice.
I did one at, what's it called? Oh, some jazz bar. And I did pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, 20 minutes before him.
And he slagged you off.
And he totally slagged me off, but no one laughed.
Yeah, I know.
Because
that's
they liked
they
me.
They liked you, yeah. I know.
And it's like, what a fucking idiot.
Oh, mate, I'm a genius. I'm essentially, when I met him, he goes, I'm essentially a filmmaker. I said, how many films have you made? He said, none.
Man.
Well, then you're not a filmmaker.
I think he's got
there's something wrong with him.
There's
got
to be.
There's definitely something wrong with him.
He brings people out of the blue, other Jewish people, to get gigs.
Put me on.
And asks for $5,000 or something.
Oh, yeah, that'd be right.
It's
Oh my God.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, if you're listening, Austin, big shout out.
Yeah, you're a shithead.
Now, Bev, you can follow on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you have Instagram? You have Instagram?
Yes, I do.
Cool. Follow
my
Bev Kelly.
My daughter
put me on Twitter. Oh, there you go. And Chris, of course, these guys are on as well.
Yeah,
that's Nelson Twins.
Nelson Twins.
Nelson Twins.
Dave, what have you got coming up?
I'm just I was trying to think of something funny to say. I'm sorry. I can't think of anything.
I'm coming.
No, just doing gigs, man. Just doing gigs. Just, you know, life on the road.
Yeah, coming back from July.
I just came back from July. I went to Tamworth on Tuesday and did a building supplies conference.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
So that's two planes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is two planes. You're right.
Do you get the milk run?
You get
Have you ever done the milk run?
No.
Unbelievable. I was on a milk run once, right? I had to go to Quilpie.
Where's that?
Middle bumfuck nowhere. That'd be great if that was actually a place.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's about four stops on a light plane.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then on the way back, I went, oh, stuff this. I need a cigarette. Right. Surely I've got time. Because they wait for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, they get the milk out.
People get off, people get on. And I said to the hostess, because she said, if there's anything you need, just ask. I said, would you mind if I had a cigarette? A little bit of a smoko? And she said, I'll just ask the captain. And then she came back, she said, the captain said, that's fine. And she escorted me off into this little gated area.
Fantastic.
And I was sick. And then got back on the plane.
It's 1970s plane travel.
And Anita Hines, who I was on this tour with, was just like, I would never have believed that if I hadn't seen that with my own eyes. I had a ciggy break.
Ciggy break on a plane.
Unreal.
Well, you've been listening to The Debrief. Hopefully we'll meet up with Tony very soon, Bev's loved one. And Chris is getting the train home, so it's all good. It's all happening.
Thanks, Dave.
See
you.
Bye. Bye. Over and out.
Phone Hacks. Hey guys, if you're looking for a new podcast, check out the Phone Hacks podcast on the Nearly Network, starring comedians me, Mike Goldstein, and Nick Capper. Capper, what's the premise?
Basically, we go through each other's phones, and we also have a special guest. We go through their phone as well, and we put out some hacks that really ruin each other's lives.
Yeah, it's highly entertaining, but it's been excruciating and anxiety-filled, so please enjoy our pain.
Phone hacks.